When you hear the word design, it's easy to think about things like a beautifully designed object or a brand new Louis Vuitton bag. In fact, as Victor Papadek points out, at its worst, design is intended to get people to buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress neighbors who don't care. But what if design was much more? What if you could design anything you wanted in your life or business, including change itself? You'll find the answer to that question in Tim Brown's Change by Design. Part 1. What is design thinking? As Tim Brown, the president and CEO of IDEO, points out, design is so much more than style. He defines design thinking as a discipline that uses a designer's sensibility and methods to match people's needs with what is technologically feasible and what a viable business strategy can convert into customer value and market opportunity. Although this kind of thinking hasn't been reduced to an algorithm yet, Brown and his colleagues at IDEO have developed what they call a system of overlapping spaces in the continuum of innovation. There is the inspiration space, which covers the problem or opportunity that motivates the search for solutions. The ideation space that generates, develops, and tests ideas. And the implementation space that leads the ideas to the marketplace. Charles Eames, the legendary designer, often said that the mark of a designer is the willing embrace of constraints. This is what differentiates us mere mortals from the ranks of design thinkers. A true design thinker will be able to balance the following three constraints that should be present in any project. Number 1, feasibility. What is functionally possible in the foreseeable future? 2, viability. What is likely to become part of a sustainable business model? And 3, desirability. What makes sense to people and for people? As Brown notes, a competent designer will resolve each of these three constraints, but a design thinker will bring them into a harmonious balance. Do you want an example of an innovative product that does just that? How about the Nintendo Wii? Millions of people around the world, adults and children alike, would agree with you on this one. Part 2, putting people first. The job of the designer is to convert need into demand. The traditional tools at our disposal, like surveys and focus groups, are horrible at creating game-changing innovations. As Henry Ford once famously said, "If I'd asked my customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse." Once again, we have three elements to consider in how we create success in the process of putting people first. They are insight, observation, and empathy. Insight, learning from the lives of others. Insights that change the game don't start in a lab or a boardroom. They're out in the world waiting to be discovered. So go out into the world and see what they see, feel what they feel, and hear what they hear. Only after you do that can you even begin to design a solution to their problems. The single largest roadblock standing in your way to creating a solution that works? The assumptions you make about what's going on even before you begin. Take the example of Jennifer Portnick, who wanted to become a jazzercise dance instructor. But because she was a size 18, ran up against company requirements that instructors are of fit appearance. Portnick challenged this policy and won, forcing jazzercise to drop their weight discriminatory policy. The assumptions that led to this policy in the first place were the problem. That all fat people want to be thin, that weight is inversely proportional to happiness, or that large size displays a lack of discipline. You might even be listening to this right now agreeing with those assumptions. But consider this. Every time you make assumptions about any of the stakeholders in your business, you lose the opportunity to search for insights. That's one leg up that design thinkers will continue to have on you moving forward. And God help you if some of them work for your competition. Observation. It's what they don't do that's interesting. Focusing on the middle of the bell curve, where the majority of your customers lie, is more likely to confirm what you already know rather than give you the insight into a new solution. If you want real insights, travel out towards the far reaches of that bell curve to find the extreme users of your product or service. These extreme users will show you things that regular users won't. That's where the gold is. For instance, when IDEO wanted to get insights for a new line of kitchen tools, they first started out by studying children and professional chefs, definitely not the anticipated mainstream buyers of the products. However, seeing a child struggle with a can opener highlighted issues that an adult would have learned to disguise. This and other insights led them to dropping the traditional match set handles for a system that has different but more comfortable handles for each. These Xylus tools continue to fly off the shelf today. Empathy, standing in the shoes of others. The king once said, "You know the king, baby. Before you abuse, criticize, or accuse, walk a mile in my shoes." If you change those words to decide, conclude, or assume, you've got a pretty good formula for generating insights. It's quite possible that you have very little in common with the people you serve. If you're a C-suite executive whose company serves people struggling to make ends meet on a weekly basis, it's likely that you have no idea what it's like to live in their shoes. Well, here's your chance to finally think like your customer. The solution? Go through your customer journey. When IDEO was helping a hospital redesign their emergency department, they didn't just go to the site and take pictures and notes. They actually sent a person in with a fake injury and had them experience the entire process from the patient point of view. The hidden camera footage they obtained showed them a lot of opportunities for incremental improvements, but highlighted an even bigger discovery, that the patient experience was both crushingly boring and riddled with anxiety. This led them to redesign the space to create not only physical changes to the process, but also design the solution to create a different set of emotions for the patient. This is truly powerful stuff. Part 3, creating a solution. At this point, you've created constraints for your problem, gone out and collected insights from your customers, and now you're ready to generate a solution to your problem. There are two steps here that are at odds with one another: divergence and convergence. Divergence. Divergence is the act of generating multiple options to consider. The reason we want to create multiple options and not just one right answer is that the process of testing competing ideas against one another is that the final outcome will be bolder, more creative, and ultimately more compelling. Convergence. Convergence is what drives us towards solutions. This is probably the most difficult portion of the entire exercise because it forces us to eliminate options and make choices. In fact, we have to allow ourselves to let go of options that are promising and that were the result of a lot of hard work to create in the first place. Now, as you'd probably guess by now, true design thinkers are constantly bouncing between divergence and convergence, constantly testing new theories and attempting to put them into action. This is where a culture of experimentation truly comes to life. As Brown points out, the rules for getting this right are so incredibly easy to say and understand, but insanely difficult to put into practice. Here are 6 rules for making it happen. 1. Best ideas emerge when the whole organizational ecosystem is involved. 2. Those most exposed to changing externalities, like new technologies, shifting customer bases, etc., are best placed to respond. 3. Ideas should not be favored by those who create them. 4. Ideas that create a buzz should be favored. In fact, only those with a buzz should be supported by the organization. 5. Senior leadership should use their gardening skills to tend, prune, and harvest ideas. 6. An overarching purpose should be articulated so that the organization has a sense of direction. Follow these rules, and your culture of experimentation will flourish. Ignore them, and it will die a slow and painful death. Part 4, prototyping solutions. In the process of diverging and converging on solutions, the only way to truly understand if it's going to meet the constraints of feasibility, viability, and desirability is to get a prototype of the solution as soon as possible in the process. As Brown says, the faster we make our ideas tangible, the sooner we'll be able to evaluate them, refine them, and zero in on the best solution. Here's how to put prototyping to its best possible use in the process. Make it quick and dirty. Spend as little money as possible to create the prototype, as the goal is to get something in our hands as quickly as humanly possible. One of IDEO's most famous prototypes was created when a rollerball from the tube of a Ben roll-on deodorant was attached to the base of a plastic butter dish, making the first articulation of what would later become the iconic Apple computer mouse. Don't spend too much time. The goal is not to create a working model. It's to form the idea so you can learn about its strengths and weaknesses. If you spend too much time on it, it'll start to look like it's finished, and finished solutions are much harder to kill than crude mock-ups. You can do this for services as well. Even if you're designing something that can't be picked up like a service, you can still produce a prototype and get feedback. You can use scenarios, for instance, where you can create a persona and play out a scenario you've created for that persona to go through. The best scenario you can create for this instance is your customer journey. So there you have it, from beginning to end, the entire innovation process. I hope you took a ton away from this summary. If it resonated with you, please go buy the book, and for heaven's sake, please implement some of these ideas this week. It just might change your business. Thanks and have an amazing week.